This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day and a wonderful time to be together in this hour of worship, and I am glad to welcome you. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, we know that the Spirit of Christ unites us as we worship today. I would invite all of you to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there's a registration pad at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again and sign in, and if you're online, you can put the link in your browser to sign in digitally, and that is a big help to us. Wanted to let you know that about 75 of our church family are making their way to the Mountainside worship area at Beersheba Springs Assembly this morning at the closing of the all-church retreat, and it was a wonderful time. David and I came home last night, so if I'm a little sluggish this morning, it's because we were having so much fun up there on the retreat. So they are with us in spirit and thinking of us as we are thinking of them. We are hoping to do that again next year, so if you weren't able to go this year, we'll look for more information coming up soon about next year. Because so many of our staff are up there on the mountain, I wanted to let you know, introduce two of our liturgists to you this morning. You've met some of them before. Reverend Chris Donald will be our first liturgist. He and his family worship here every Sunday, and he is the Dean of Religious Life over at Vanderbilt University and an ordained United Methodist. And then Reverend Dr. Jen Quigley is also an ordained United Methodist pastor who is a professor of New Testament across the street at Vanderbilt. And some of you got to learn from her this summer in her New Testament class. So they will be helping lead us in worship this morning, and I hope you have a chance to greet them. Just a few other announcements as we gather. Next Sunday, we'll have a membership class starting off. So if you're visiting and thinking about praying about becoming a member officially of the church, please plan on attending that class. It lasts for 4 weeks during the Sunday school hour. And also next Sunday in the evening, we'll have a gathering to talk about the four Gospels. And everyone is welcome. We'll be there from 5 to 7. It's a potluck. The church will provide the meat and the drinks. And just bring a side of your choice, and we will feast and feast on the Word together. And finally, just a reminder to mark your calendars for Sunday, October 15th. It is our big birthday bash, 150th celebration. We'll have one worship service at 10 o'clock, Sunday school at 9. And then in the afternoon from 2 to 4, we'll have cake and fun and bouncy house for kids and all sorts of fun activities. And then a 4 o'clock hymn festival here in the sanctuary. So it's a great opportunity to invite your friends and neighbors to celebrate the 150 years of ministry that this congregation has been part of. And we're excited and looking forward to that date. This morning we are in John's Gospel, listening to some of Jesus' final words to his disciples, words of instruction and invitation. So let us open ourselves to hear this invitation of Jesus to abide in him.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship found printed in your bulletin. Jesus, our Lord, calls us from near to far and far to come and find rest in Him. He invites us to live by the rhythm of His grace and grow into the way of love. Let us come and abide in Christ and experience abundant life in worshiping Him. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of love, we confess that we have not lived by the rhythm of your gentleness and grace. We have not built our lives in your love, choosing instead to force our way in the world for the sake of the supposed good life. In your mercy, shine light into the darkness of our hearts. Give us right faith, firm hope, and perfect charity. Gift us with profound humility, wisdom, and understanding, that we might do what is truly your holy will. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the New Testament, John 15, 1 through 13. Jesus, the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The word of God for the people of God.
A moment with the children. If you are in the sanctuary and want to come join me up here for a minute, love to see you. And if you're worshiping from home, you can just get a little closer to your screen and I can share my plant with you. Good morning. Good morning. So glad to see all of you. Come on down. And show you this plant that's actually been growing in my yard. Sort of. All right, hope everybody can see this. Anybody guess what that is? It's a tomato plant. That's right, it's a cherry tomato plant. So the tomatoes will be about that big, and you can slice them up and put them on a salad or just pop them in your mouth like candy. They're really yummy. And so I was just looking at this tomato plant because Jesus, in the story that Miss Sarah just read for us, was talking about the vine. Sometimes Jesus talked about things like this that we could see to teach us things about God and our life with God. So Jesus was saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. Stay with me. So if we look at this tomato plant, we could say maybe Jesus is this vine, the main part of the plant. And then we are kind of like these little branches, the leaves that grow. And if we stay close to Jesus and attached to Jesus, we can grow and even bear fruit, he said. Even do good things in the world that share God's love with the world. He said, you know, sometimes with the vine, there's maybe a little branch that breaks off. Maybe it's kind of weak and the wind blows and it falls off or something happens to it. That happened to this plant. So this one's not going to be making any more tomatoes. But because that one is gone now, all this energy and life and water and all that's going to come up here. And here are two little flowers, which means that, can you see the little flowers? That pretty soon those are going to be little tomatoes too. So it keeps growing. And we keep growing too. If we stay close to Jesus, we pray and talk to Jesus, and we read our Bibles and come to church and remember God's love for us and share God's love with other people, then God's love is going to be able to flow through us to other people. Jesus called that bearing fruit. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the beautiful things in nature that Jesus used to teach us about God and about love. He invites us to stay close to him, to stay close to his love always, to hang on tight to his love. And so we want to do that so we can grow in his love and love other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. And now 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Miss Molly and Miss Jan in the black and white there to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with your family or friends. Those of you who are actually gardeners, please don't judge my tomato plants. You probably saw that. That's a pretty pitiful looking plant. It kind of is. But it is making some tomatoes. The truth is, and I've confessed this to you before, I am not a gardener. I don't know my way around a sunflower or a zinnia. I can't keep the deer from eating the tomatoes. Pretty much anything that David and I plant does not thrive, except for our herbs. For some reason, we can do an herb garden. And so this year, well, we have this sage plant that just won't die. I mean, we don't do anything to it, but somehow it just comes back every year, and it's really robust and beautiful. And then we've got basil. And wow, do we have basil this year. It's like we're making pesto like nobody's business. And I think we've discovered two things that help us grow good basil plants. One is that if the basil plant starts to flower, you're supposed to pick the flower off. I see some of you nodding. You've known this a long time. I'm new. Okay. So every time we walk by and there's a flower, we just pinch off the flower, and then we smell like basil, which is nice. And then David learned a secret that when you want to use the basil leaves for pesto or a recipe, you don't just pick the leaf off. You can cut it from lower on the stem, and then it will grow back, and it might even grow back double. So it's the right way to prune it, the right way to harvest it. And so these two things that we've been doing have helped our basil plants really to thrive. And we've got some leaves that are like that big, and looking forward to lots of pesto over the next few weeks and months. Unlike me, Jesus knew a lot about gardening and growing things and farming and being in relationship with the land and with creation. He understood the rhythms of these things and used them and talked about them often in his teachings and in his parables. The first parable he teaches in the Gospel of Mark, a sower went out to sow his seeds. He talks about farming and sowing seeds. Or the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed or a fig tree. And in today's text in John's Gospel, we get probably the longest use of a metaphor of gardening from Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower, he said. And he uses this image of the vine to teach his disciples and to invite them to abide in him, to stay in relationship of love with him, no matter what happens. Now, this is part of a larger speech that Jesus is giving. We sometimes call it his farewell discourse. John's gospel is different from the other three gospels in a lot of ways. And the way that he organizes the telling of the Jesus story is very different. It's 21 chapters long, and already in chapter 13, a little over halfway through the gospel, Jesus is sitting down with his disciples for the Last Supper. And everything after that is leading toward his arrest, his death, and resurrection. In chapter 13, John talks about that last gathering, not so much about the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, but the washing of the feet. It is in the 13th chapter of John that Jesus rises from the table, ties a towel around his waist, and goes around, kneels in front of each one of his disciples, including Judas, and washes their feet. And he says to them, "Now I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And that theme goes on and on through these next few chapters as he continues to teach them and talk with them. If your Bible has Jesus' words in red letters, this is a several chapters of red letters, Jesus giving his final instructions. And so in chapter 15, he has told them that he is about to leave them. In chapter 14, he said, in a little while, the world will no longer see me. He's about to be arrested and killed. But he wants them to stay with him, to trust that he will remain with them. And in these chapters, we get all of this beautiful language about the Father abides in me, and I abide in him, and you are invited to abide in me, and the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, is coming. We have this imagery of the Trinity swirling around in communion together with love flowing between them. And Jesus inviting his followers, inviting all of us to enter into that dance of love with the triune God. Abide in me, Jesus says. Apart from me, if you do not abide in me, you can do nothing. You cannot continue the ministry that I have begun, says Jesus, unless you abide in me and abide in my Spirit. But if you abide, if you remain with me, you will have peace. You will have joy. You will have love. Isn't it interesting if we skip a little bit ahead to Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and the list goes on to include 9. But these 3 we hear directly from Jesus in these chapters. Peace I leave with you, says Jesus in chapter 14. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Joy. We heard it in the text that Sarah read. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Saying to his disciples, life with me, following me, is not drudgery. It's not a heavy burden. My burden is light, and I want you to have joy. And you will have joy if you abide in me. And above all, love. The Father has loved me, and so I love you. Abide in my love. There is nothing you can do to lose my love or earn it. It is already yours. Abide in my love. So there's this invitation to abide. What does it mean to abide? How do we abide with Jesus? How do we dwell and remain with Jesus in the living of our very busy, ordinary lives? That's a question for all of us. And I think there are practices that we can follow in our lives that will help us stay close as we can to Jesus. Reading the scriptures, as we're doing together as a congregation, most especially the gospels, reading them over and over and over again. Being part of worship, being part of a faith community and sharing our lives with one another. Practicing prayer, opening ourselves to the presence of the Spirit in our everyday lives. Abiding in God's love. I have a spiritual director that I see once a month, Ben Curtis. I shared that with someone recently, and they said, oh, he's the Obi-Wan Kenobi of spiritual directors in Nashville. He's taught a lot of people spiritual direction, and I have the privilege of having him in my life for over 10 years now. And I was telling him about being an empty nester. It had only been 2 weeks since our second child had gone off to college when we met, and that there's this emptiness, not a bad emptiness, but the house feels empty in a new way. The schedule's kind of opened up in a new way, and I've got a lot of emotions around it, and I just don't know what to do with it. And he said, why don't you sit down with a cup of coffee and invite Jesus to sit with you in the emptiness and see what emerges? Wow. I never thought of that. A simple practice of just intentionally inviting Jesus to sit with me and see what emerges in that emptiness. I've really been enjoying Will McLean's class on Wednesday night, and he's been inviting us to look at practices and ways that we can make space to abide in Christ. Because he says, if you do not abide in me, you can do no thing. You cannot bear my fruit. So we imagine the vine, as I was showing the children, and what that fruit looks like. You know, nowadays we have these nature videos that can speed things up, and we can actually imagine or see like a tomato growing on a vine. And we know, even by watching it, that the energy and life that come into that tomato aren't coming from that little stem, but they're flowing from the earth, through the plant, through the vine. And that's us. We can't do anything for the kingdom unless it is God's love flowing through us and bearing fruit through us. So as I think about this image of the vine, just a few final thoughts of things I've encountered over the past few weeks that have brought this passage to life for me. One is noticing that the pronouns in this text are plural. I am the vine, Jesus says. My Father is the vine grower, and y'all are the branches. If a vine has one branch, it's not going to bear a lot of fruit. But we are all branches. We are all in this growth process together. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to the church, to the faith community. Gail O'Day describes it as the vine that Jesus is talking about is an organic unity shaped by the love of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? To think of us as the church as an organic unity shaped by the love of Jesus. A second insight came during annual conference when Bishop Gregory Palmer was our preacher. He preached on this very text, and he said a lot of amazing things. But one of the things that really stuck with me is he said, and he was able to kind of do this because he's a bishop. He's like, y'all, we are branches, and branches don't get to prune other branches. That our job is to not turn and try and prune each other, but to stay connected to the vine and abide in Christ's love and bear fruit as we are called to bear it. And trust that the vine grower is doing what the vine grower needs to do to help all of us bear fruit. And finally, what occurred to me as I pondered and prayed over this passage this week was, isn't it astounding that the God who created the universe, the God of universal, unconditional love, chooses to nourish the world through us, chooses to work through us to bear fruit in the world, to feed the world, to change the world, to nourish the world. From the very beginning, as we have made our ways through the scriptures, we have seen again and again, God chooses to partner with us to bless the world. What a privilege that is, and what a joy. And so, my friends, the disciples of Jesus, as we gather today around the table, imagine that Jesus has just washed your feet and now says to you, abide with me, and together we will bear much fruit for this world that God loves so much, that God sent the only Son. Amen.
Beloved, please rise as you are able and join me in reciting the affirmation of faith from the United Church of Canada, found in your bulletin and on page 883 of your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Part of our life together as the body of Christ is to hold one another in prayer, both in sorrow and in joy. And this week we have some joy to share. There's a rose on the altar, and we welcome the birth of Samuel Alexander Perdue, who was born on September 6th to Mallory and Jim Perdue. And he's also welcomed by his big sister, Hunter Perdue. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there's gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates once they're passed. So please join me in a posture of prayer.
God of wisdom, we give thanks for the beautiful imagery we find in Scripture that helps us to know you better, even as you remain beyond our imagining. Jesus, you are Word of God, Bread of Life, Good Shepherd, and you are the vine, and we are your branches. We pray this morning for all who are experiencing periods of change and newness. Bless the green new shoots in our lives, the people and circumstances that are tentative, hopeful, and curious. Give us and them the nourishment and connection to grow. We pray this morning for all who are experiencing pain, loss, and confusion. For those of us who've been long on the vine, who are a little twisted up and gnarled with the weight of the world, and no longer know how to find the sunlight, help prune us back in the areas of our lives that need change so that we might flourish again in you. Help us to feel your grounding connection when we're feeling lost so that we might always know our connection to your love. We pray for all of the branches on your vine this morning, for those branches near and beloved to us, and for those branches so far away and different from us that we didn't even know we were in the same vineyard. When we fall short and do more harm than good, prune us back with mercy so that we can grow fruit that is good and not rotten. Bring peace to our conflicts and healing to our divisions so that all may abide in you. And last, O God, we pray for the world around us, for the beauty of creation which reflects you, and for all of our neighbors, all of whom bear your divine image. May the fruit of our lives be for the joy, healing, and nourishment of the world. We pray all of these things in the name of the one who makes us and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. And if you're here in the sanctuary, we will pass around offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
redeemed his servant Jacob. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
of all of these branches, abiding in the amazing grace of Christ, singing fruit, singing grace, and bearing fruit in the world. It is who we are called to be. It is who we are empowered to be by the love of God. So go in peace, in love, and in joy.